Today's daf is Chulin Daf Beis. We are Be'ezus Hashem at the beginning of a new Mesechta, Mesechtes Chulin. So what does Mesechtes Chulin talk about? The word Chulin, loosely translated, is mundane. It's the antithesis of Kachin. So we just learned Mesechtes Zvachim and Menaches, which deal with inyonim that have Kedusha, specifically behemos, oifos, menachos, different things that were brought as sacrifices to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mesechtes Chulin is going to deal with things that are the opposite of that. Things that are Chulin. They're by definition not Kachin. But more specifically, Mesechtes Chulin is going to be dealing with how you prepare or how you shecht animals that are chulin. So if you have an animal that's hektish, so there's a whole Shulchan Aruch of exactly what's supposed to be done. You had to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. You had to hand it over to the Kayhanim. Shechita, Kabbalah, Hilacha, Zrika, Haktara, Shvich HaShirayim, the Menachis that came along with it. If somebody has an animal that's chulin, however, and he wants to prepare it, he wants to shecht it, so he's going to have dinner. So there's a Shulchan Aruch that has to be followed as well. You don't have to bring it into the Beis HaMikdash, but at the same time, you need a proper Shechita, and then there's Melicha, and even after you have the food already, you have to make sure that you eat it the right way. If you're eating basar, you can't eat it together with challah. So really, all the halachas dealing with preparing meat is what's discussed in Mesechtes Chulin. Now, the first sugya here in Mesechtes Chulin are the laws of Shechita. So what exactly is Shechita? Shechita is the way that an observant Jew prepares his meat. So you can't just take an animal, put a bullet in its head, cut it open, put it on the grill, and eat dinner. That's something that we all understand is not okay. What you have to do is you have to shecht it. Now, as far as the details of what exactly constitutes shechita, there's no reason to go into that in the Hakdama. That's something that's going to be discussed in very great detail as we move along through the sugyas. But more from a high level, what exactly is even the makar that you have to do shechita? And from where do the laws of shechita come? So like most areas in halacha, hilcha shechita is not in the Torah Shebiksav, but rather it's in the Torah Shebaal Peh. But there's something unique and something interesting with regards to shechita. And that is, the pasuk is in Parshas Re'eh, it's Perik Yud Beis, pasuk Chav. Says the pasuk, ki yarchiv Hashem alikeches gvulcha kashadi belach. So this is Moshe Rabbeinu, Mishneh Torah, he's talking to Klal Yisrael. The Yidden are in the Midbar. Says eventually you're going to end up in Eretz Yisrael. And when you're there, you're going to have fields, you're going to have Harchoves Hadas. For Amarto, you're going to say, Oichla Basar, you're going to want to eat meat. Kisavah Nafshecha Lecha Basar. Bechal Avas Nafshecha Teicha Basar. It's okay. It's something that you're allowed to do. And we're going to learn in a few weeks, the Gemara says that you see from this pasuk that it was only once the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael that they were allowed to eat meat. But before they entered Eretz Yisrael, they weren't allowed to eat meat. And of course, it's a machloikis, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, where the basar taiva was mutter when the Yidden were in the Midbar, or they weren't. It wasn't mutter when the Yidden were in the Midbar. But regardless, the context of the pasuk is, ki yarchiv Hashem alikeches gvulcha kashadi belach. The Yidden are going to enter Eretz Yisrael. They're going to want to eat meat. Okay, how do you eat meat? I'm skipping. Says the pasuk, vizavachta mipkarcha umitzoincha ashenosan Hashem alikha. That if you want to eat meat, you have to shecht it first. Vizavachta. This is the pasuk. This is how you know shechita. Vizavachta mipkarcha mitzoincha asher nosan Hashem lecha. Kasher tzivisicha, says Hashem. And how should you shecht it? The way I commanded you already to shecht it. V'yachalta b'sharecha b'cholavas nafshecha. Now Rashi, quoting the Gemara Mesechtes Chulin, Daf Chof Chesam and Aleph, asks, this is the first time that the Torah introduces us to the idea of shechita. It's right here. So if you ask someone, what's the makar to shechita? It's Parshas Re'eh. It's Perik Yud Beis. It's pasuk Chof Aleph. Vizavachta mipkarcha mitzoyncha asher nosan Hashem lecha. And what does the Torah say? Kasher tzivisicha. How should you shecht it? You should shecht it the way that I already described to you. Bechura, if this is the first time that it's ever being mentioned, what exactly does the pasuk mean when it says kasher tzivisicha? And the Gemara asks the kasha, again, in Chulin Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph, it's Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Tanya, Rabbi Yoimer, Vizavachta kasher tzivisicha. You know what you see from this pasuk? Malamich and it's Tav and Moshe. You see from here that Moshe Rabbeinu was already commanded, ala veshet v'alakon, v'al roi vechot ba'oif, v'al roi v'shnai be'behema. Moshe Rabbeinu must have been commanded hilchis shechita, and that's what this pasuk is a reference to, that you should shecht kasher tzivisicha, meaning, even though it's not mefurish anywhere in the Torah Shebiksav, but Moshe Rabbeinu must have been commanded hilcha shechita in the Torah Shebaal Peh, and you have a pasuk in the Torah Shebiksav that's referencing Torah Shebaal Peh, which is unbelievable. Because ordinarily, there's the Torah Shebiksav, and there's the Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh, by definition, is the written law. And then there was the Torah Shebaal Peh, which was the oral law that was transmitted orally. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai, Masar Yeshua, Yeshua Liskeinim, Anshik Nesak Doyle, Shemin Atzadik, Antignos Yeshusaychai, right? So that was the Messiah of the Torah Shebaal Peh. But the Torah Shebaal Peh is not supposed to be even Mirumis in the Torah Shebaal Peh. Yeah, the Yud Gimel Midrash Torah Nidreshes Behem, yeah. But to have a Pusik that's going to clearly reference the Torah Shebaal Peh, that's not something you usually find. With regards to the laws of Shechita, so although it's true, it's Torah Shebaal Peh, but the Torah Shebaal Peh of Hilcha Shechita is referenced in the Torah Shebaal Peh. When the Pasuk says, V'zavachta mipkarcha mitzayincha asher nasan Hashem alecha, kasher tzivisicha. What's the kasher tzivisicha? It's referring to the Torah Shebaal Peh. If you take a look at Tosfos and Chulin, Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph, the Tosfos over there says something fascinating. Yesh mefarshim, didarish begematria dekasher. That really, even though kasher tzivisicha is referring to the Torah Shebaal Peh, but the basic halachas of Shechita are actually merumas in the pasuk in another way. The word kasher, aleph, stands for echad ba'if. You have to shecht one of the simonim of a knife. The shin is shnayim bebehema. The reish is rubay shal echad kemayu. Roiv echad ba'if, roiv shnayim bebehema. V'rashi tevis l'mafreya. And then Tosfos says that you want another remez in the pasuk. The rashi tevis of the word kasha l'mafreya. So reading backwards, reish shin aleph kaf is rubay shal echad kemayu. Fascinating. Either way. So again, the laws of shechita is Torah Shebaal Peh. It's not mafurish anywhere in the pasuk. All you have is one word. The word that we have in the Torah is v'zavachta mipkarchu mitzvah, which in and of itself is a very ambiguous term. It's not clear what exactly does vizavachta mean, but the answer is you need to know the Torah Shebaal Peh. Usually the Torah Shebaal Peh is independent of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Here we have the two married together. The Pasuk says, Vizavachta kasher tzivisicha. Kasher tzivisicha must be a reference to the Torah Shebaal Peh. Not just that, Tosfos brings that in the word kasher, there's two ramazim. It's Rosh HaTevis, Hilcha Shechita, and if you read the letters backwards, you also have the laws of Shechita. If you take a look at the Ramban al HaTorah, on that Pasuk, kasher tzivisicha, the Ramban says he doesn't understand the Gemara Chulin Daf Chav Ches. The Gemara was bothered, kasher tzivisicha, where do you find the laws of Shechita? This is the first time the laws of Shechita are being introduced to us. Says Ramban, is that true? We just finished learning Masechta Zvachim HaMenachos. And in Zvachim HaMenachos, we know that if you have an animal that's hektish, you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, the first thing that you have to do is Shechita. Shechita avoydehi, Shechita lav avoydehi. But the first thing you have to do is Shechita. How do you know that? It's possible in the Torah. Right in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, the Torah says, Vashachat has ben abakar. Again and again and again, the Torah talks about Shechita. So says the Ramban, if you want to know, I think al derech hapshat, the way I would have learned this pasuk, is vizavachta, when you get on Teretz Yisrael, and now you're going to be able to eat basa taiva. So you're going to have your bakar and your tzayin, you're going to sit down, you're going to want to eat it. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to shtechtit kasher tzivisicha. The same way, when you have kachim, the halacha is the way you prepare the animal is not just killing it in any indiscriminate way, but there's a process that has to be followed. There's something called shechita. In the same vein, when it comes to chulin, there's something called shechita as well. And the truth is, we know Chazal says shechita lav avoidehi, meaning even though shechita was done with the klisharis and there were certain halachas that would seem to suggest that shechita was an avoida. If a kohen had a machshavas pigul while he did the shechita, the carbon would be disqualified. If a kohen had a machshavas shaloi lishma, by a carbon pesach or a carbon chatas, the carbon would be disqualified. But the Gemara says shechita lav avoida. And Tosfos in Masechet Zvachim Daf Yudalim with Beis brings from the Rimeir Linus, the Rimeir Lins, who said that you want to know why shechita lav avoida? He said because by chulin you also find shechita. And shechita's kachim and shechita's chulin is one and the same. The concept of shechita's kachim is not some heebie-jeebie avoida, some way of being mesharis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just that the way a Jew prepares food that's going to be eaten is by shechting it. And whether the food is chulin, you're sitting down to have dinner, so first you have to prepare it through shechita, shnei simonim, simen echa, depending if it's a knife, depending if it's a behemoth, and all the halachas that we're going to learn, the way you prepare kachim is also through shechita. Because at the end of the day, kachim was eaten by the kayanim, and even the kachim that wasn't eaten, such as the carbon oila, but the carbon oila was kulay kolol, it was put on the mizbeach. We know haktara was referred to as achilas mizbeach. We also know there's halacha mimashke Yisrael, that just like a yid could only eat kosher food, a kadosh baruch hu kavi yochel could also only eat kosher food. So it says the Rimei Orleans, you want to know why shechita is lav avoidi? Because you find shechita by chulin. So it just seems that what's going on when you shecht is not you're doing some maisa avoida, but rather you're preparing the food. That's what the Ramban's argument is. That l'chura, why say that kashet v'sicha, a pasuk in the Torah Shabbat is a reference to the Torah Shabbat Peh, which is something you don't usually find? Wouldn't it make more sense to just learn the pasuk al derech hapshat? And that is that kashet v'sicha is referring back to the beginning of Vayikro, which an idea that you find throughout Torah's Kohanim, this concept that Shchita needs, a kachem needs Shchita, so it makes sense that Chulin would need Shchita as well. Now, that's Pashit, that if somebody eats meat and he doesn't shecht the animal first, it's a problem. Number one, he violated the laws of Shchita. Now, is Shchita a mitzvah? Is that a bitul mitzvah saseh? If somebody doesn't put on tefillin. See, it was mevatel a mitzvah saseh. If somebody eats meat without first shechting the animal, was he mevatel a mitzvah? So most Rishonim say that Shchita is not a mitzvah. Shchita is a matter. You need to do shchita in order to be able to eat meat. But it's not a mitzvah saseh. You don't go to the mikvah before you do shchita. You don't say l'shem yichud. You don't put on the gartel before you do shchita. It's not a mitzvah. You just have to do shchita if you want to be able to eat from the meat. Stating that, the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs, when he lists his tariag mitzvahs, the Rambam lists shchita. And the truth is that a shaychet, before he does shchita, makes a berachas ha-mitzvahs. A shaychet ishanah b'mitzvahs ha-vitzivano, which would seem to suggest that it is a mitzvah. In fact, there's a major discussion in the Achrayim. Why is it, if you hold that shchita is not a mitzvah, a lot of raid, and raid of Yetz Hashem we'll get to at some point. Why is it that if shchita is not a mitzvah, all it is, it's being matter the basul achila, that you would have to make the berachas ha-mitzvah. So regardless of whether shchita is a mitzvah or not, but that's pashut. If you eat meat without first shechting it, you're getting involved in some serious isurim. Number one, potentially you can have the isur of Avram and Achai. So if somebody will eat meat of an animal that had no shechita at all, meaning the limb of the animal was taken off while the animal was still alive, even if later the animal was killed, you have Avram and Achai. If somebody eats from an animal that was killed, but it wasn't killed through shchita, that's nevela. There's also pilchus treifos that tie into this. Treifos, when an animal has a wound that Chazal deemed would cause the animal to die within a certain period of time, even if you did a good shchita, it doesn't matter. You can't shecht the treifa, and as a result, this animal would be disqualified. So when you talk about the laws of shchita, so on the one hand, you have the positive commandment, whether it's a mitzvah or not, of shchita, how you're supposed to shecht, and then there's the negative, the flip side, that if somebody eats without shchita, beside for the fact that he violated the mitzvah of shchita, assuming it's a mitzvah, but there's a whole peckle of lavin that he's getting involved in. You have Avram and Achai, you have the laws of Nevela, you have the laws of Treifa. Either way, on that note, Zok de Mishnah. Hakol Sheichdin, everybody is allowed to shecht. V'shchitasan ksheira. And anyone that shechts shchita is going to be kasha. Chutz micher shayit v'katan, with the exception of acher shayit v'katan. The reason is because they're deemed throughout Shas as being somewhat lacking in competence, lacking in das, and we're concerned that if the Cher Shait V'Katan are going to shecht, the shechita is not going to come out right. We're going to see there's so many halachas of exactly how shechita goes down. Thus, there's a legitimate concern that they will get it wrong. So even though hakol shechten, and hakol is always l'rabbi, is that everybody's allowed to shecht. Even people that you would think can't shecht, can't shecht. Stating that the cheres shaitan katan, they cannot. The kulan sheshachtu, and anyone that shechts v'acherim royin oisan, and other people are watching them shchitas and ksheira, the shchita is going to be kosher. So really, the Mishnah is straightforward. The Mishnah says everyone's allowed to shecht with the exception of cheres shaitan katan. But the Mishnah is also very wordy. Hakol shaychten, everyone hakol is always the rabbis v'shchitas and ksheira, and then the last line of the Mishnah v'kulan sheshachtu v'acherim royin oisan shchitas and ksheira. So the Gemara is going to dive in, and the Gemara is going to be medayik literally every syllable in this Mishnah to try to explain, aside for the big picture of what the Mishnah is saying, clearly it's coming to tell us a lot of additional halachas. Either way, Zokta Gemara hakol sheichtim l'katchil. First line of the Mishnah says hakol sheichtim. It sounds like whoever hakol is allowed to shecht even the katchila ushchitas and ksheir d'yevin. And then the Mishnah says that if they shecht, the shchita is going to be kosher. That sounds like it's v'dyevin. And the Gemara is asking a kasha. It seems to be a stira, because the mashmaos of hakol sheichten is that everyone is allowed to shecht the katchila. And then the Mishnah seems to say shchitas and ksheir, that everyone's allowed to shecht only v'dyevin. So everyone, we don't know who everyone is yet, but everyone, are they allowed to shecht likatchila, or is this everyone only allowed a shecht b'diavad? Omali Rav Acha b'rei d'Rava l'Rav Ashi. So Rav Acha b'rei d'Rava told Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi was the author of Talmud Bavli. So he interrupted. So you're starting Masechta Schulim with a kasha based on a premise that the words hakol sheichtim seem to suggest that you're allowed to shecht l'katchila. Everyone, even someone that you wouldn't have thought is allowed to shecht, is allowed to shecht, and he can even shecht l'katchila. Thus, the contradiction. Hakol shecht in l'katchila, hu shechitas in k'sher b'di'evet. But he said, is that true? V'chol hakol l'katchila el miyato, hakol mamirin, mesechtis t'mura begins with the word hakol as well. The Mishnah over there is discussing the laws of t'mura, and it says, hakol mamirin, everyone can do t'mura. Echad ha'anashim, the echad ha'anashim. Doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, you're subject to the laws of Torah. Are you going to tell me that there too it means l'katchila? That every single person is allowed to do t'mura l'katchila v'ksiv? It's a pasuk in the Torah. It says, l'yachlifen v'l'yomir oisei toiv v'rai rabbi toiv. Too laughing. You're not allowed to do t'mura. Elamai, when it says the words akol mamirim, it doesn't mean l'katchila you're allowed to do t'mura, says the Gemara. Now, hasam k'diktani times. Rav Ashi said, it's true. Akol mamirim doesn't mean l'katchila. But you know why over there it doesn't mean l'katchila? Even though grammatically the word hakol mamirim would suggest that you could do it l'katchila, but there the Mishnah says mefurish why it doesn't mean that. The Mishnah says, lo yishadam rashoi lahamir elishem avim umir. V'slevi gizarba. The Mishnah says it clearly. Meaning, the Mishnah is alluding to what you're saying. That even though Akol Mamirim sounds like the Katchila, you're allowed to do t'mura. No, don't think that. Not that a person, Akol Mamirim, in the sense, he can go do t'mura. It just means that if he did the t'mura, it is a t'mura. V'sayfik is arba. Taisa says, by the way, sayfik is arba, it's 2 lav. You should really get Malkus times 2. It should be 80 lav. 80 Malkus. But either way, so Rav Ashi said, that's not a kasha. Elo, but Rav Acha Brei D'Rava persisted. And he said, I'll find you another Mishnah. The Mishnah says, in the beginning of Masechtas, Erechin. Erechin dat beis. Hakol marichin v'nerochin. Anyone can create Erechin, and anyone can be the subject of Erechin. So what was Erechin? Somebody says that I want to donate to the Beis HaMikdash the value of a certain person, or my own value. So he now has a chiyuv, it's a neder type of obligation, to go and write a check and give that amount of money to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah says anyone can create Erechin, and anyone can be the subject of Erechin. Noidrin, anyone can make a neder. Vinitarin, anyone can be the subject of a neder. And there too it says the Lashon HaKoil. And Hochinami, so Rav Acha Brei D'Rava told Rav Ashi, you're going to tell me to l'katchilu? It means l'katchilu, you're allowed to make Erechin? L'katchilu, you're allowed to make a neder. V'ksiv, we know the pasuk says, v'chisechta lindar la'yeh b'chachet. Dvarim, Perikhov Gimel. If you're going to stop making Nedarim, you'll stop doing Averis. Clearly suggesting that if you continue to make Nedarim, it's not good. Fixiv, and there's another pasuk. Shleimah Melech Senim Kayeles. Toiv Asheloi Sidar, Mishetidar, Veloi Seshalim. It's better not to make a Neder than to make a Neder and not satisfy the neder. Now that's obvious. But the time you learned to the Brayso, so toy mizel mizesh in neder colleague of Rameir. Rameir said that it's even better not to make the neder at all. I mean, the best thing is not to make a neder. Rabbi Yehuda says toy mizel mizesh neder mishal. Rabbi Yehuda said no. The best thing is to make a neder and pay. I mean, is it better to not make a neder at all, or is it better to make a neder and be mishal? Machloek is Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rameir, the best thing is never make a neder. Toiv mizeh u'mizeh she'enoi noider kol ikar. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech meant when he said, toiv ha'shel lo yisidor, mishesidah v'lo yisashalim. It's better not to make a neder than to make a neder and not fulfill your neder. And being that if you make a neder, there's always a chance you won't fulfill your neder, the best thing is, a little confusing, not to make the neder at all. Rabbi Yehuda said, no. The best thing is to be noider u'mishalim. If you can make a neder and you could stick by it, that's wonderful. But says the Gemara, Afilu Rabbi Yehuda, even Rabbi Yehuda that was okay with making a neder, as long as you make sure that you're going to satisfy your neder, loy kamar ela b'imar rezu. That's only if you made a neder where there's no chiyav achrayah. So for example, you go over to an animal, you say, I want this to be an oila. Dear the halach is, if something ever happened to this animal, you wouldn't be chayav achrayah. That type of neder, Rabbi Yehuda is comfortable with you doing. Because it's very specific, and if something happens to it, then the whole nether goes away. Avol oimer harei olai, but if somebody makes a more general type of nether, loy, that type of nether is a bad thing. And even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that it's not good to make such a nether. What do we want from this? We're not learning Masechtas Nedarim, we're learning Masechtas Chulin. But you see from here that even though the Mishnah says, hakol marichim v'nerachim noidrim v'nidarim, which would seem to suggest the way Rav Ashi started Masechtas Chulin, the Katchila, there the context is Nedarim. And Nedarim, Ramey and Rabbi Yehuda both agree is something that's frowned upon. Ramey says, never make a neder. Even Rabbi Yehuda who says he could sometimes make a neder, but it's very specific hechitimtzus. But generally speaking, such as in the case of Erechin, which would be more similar to Arei Olai, even Rabbi Yehuda doesn't want making a neder. Even though the Lashon HaMishnah is Hakol Marichim and Erechim Noidim and Nedarim. So what do you see from there? That the word Hakol doesn't necessarily mean L'katchila. So again, Rav Ashi started Masechtas Chulin with a kasha. The Mishnah says Hakol Shoichten, which seems that everybody including, we're not sure who yet, but everybody is allowed to shecht the katchila. And then he said shechitas and ksheira, that everybody could only shecht b'dievet. Vashi said it's a stira. Is hakol shecht the katchila, or is shechitas and ksheira only b'dievet? So Rav Acha Brei D'Rava told Rav Ashi that you're asking a kasha based on a premise that the word hakol means the katchila. I'll prove to you that hakol doesn't mean the katchila. And what was his proof? Hakol marichim v'nerachim, noidrim v'nidarim. And the katchila, it's not okay to make a neder. It's not okay to make erichin. There's a parsha of nidarim and erichin. That's if you did it. But it's not something that's ever recommended. And at the same time, the Mishnah uses the word hakol. So you see that hakol doesn't necessarily mean the katchila. So Rav Acha Brei D'Rava told Rav Ashi, what's your kasha? So Rav Ashi responded. He told him, hakol, hakol, av the katchila. You're going to tell me that you never find anywhere that hakol means l'katchila? Elo, hakol chayovim b'sukkah, hakol chayovim b'tzitzis, hachi nami t'lav l'katchila? Does that not mean l'katchila? So Rav Ashi's response to Rav Acha Brei D'Rava was, I'll prove to you that sometimes hakol does mean l'katchila. So Rav Acha said, no, chayovim l'kamina. There it says chayovim. The reason it's l'katchila is not because of the word hakol. The reason it's l'katchila is because of the word chayov. Elo b'yata, Rav Ashi came back and he said, hakol soimchin, echad anoshim, ve'echad anoshim. Everyone does smicha. Smicha on a carbon. And hachi nami, you're going to tell me the lav l'katchila? Is it not l'katchila to do smicha? But ksiv, it's a pasuk. V'somach yadai v'nirtza. So obviously there, hakoil means l'katchila. So it's true, Rav Ashi told Rav Acha, that you proved to me from the beginning of Masechtas Erechin, hakoil marichim v'narachim noidim v'nidarim, that hakoil doesn't necessarily mean l'katchila, but I'll prove to you from hakoil soimchin that sometimes hakoil does mean l'katchila. So what's the obvious response? So Rav Acha told Rav Ashi, what's that? Ikka hakol l'katchila. I agree with you that hakol could mean l'katchila. A proof to that is hakol samcha. The ikka hakol d'yev. But at the same time, hakol could also mean b'dievet. How do I know that hakol marichim v'nerachim noidim v'nidorim? If that's the case, ela hakol d'hocha. So how do you know that this hakol in our Mishnah is l'katchila hu? The tikshilach that you therefore had a kasha. How do you reconcile the words hakol shoichtim with the words shchitason kshera dil medieved hu? Maybe hakol shoichtim really means medieved. V'loy tikshilach. You're not going to have a kasha. Meaning, at the end of the day, after Rav Acha and Rav Ashi had it out and they debated this back and forth and forth and back, what they came up with is that sometimes hakol means a katchila and sometimes it means medieved. Hakol soimchin echad anoshim echad anoshim. That's the katchila. The pasuk says v'somach yadai v'nirtza. Hakol marichim v'nerachim noidim v'nidarim. That means b'dievet, because we know toiv mizeh mizeh she'enu noider kolikar. So sometimes hakol means l'katchila, sometimes hakol means b'dievet. So Rav Ashi sat down and he learned Masechtas Chulin, and he learned the first Mishnah, hakol shoichtim, everyone's allowed to shecht l'katchila. Again, who hakol is, we don't know yet. But hakol shoichtim, and then it says shechitas and ksheira, that they're only allowed to shecht that same hakol b'dievet. And he asked the steer. Now, if hakol means l'katchila, like it means by hakol soimchin, then it's a stira. But if hakol means b'dievet, like it means by hakol marichim v'nerachim noidim v'nidarim, then there's no stira. So amalei Rav Acha Brei D'Rava the Rav Ashi, how do you know that the hakol shoichtin ha-masechtas chulin means l'katchila, like it means by hakol soimchin, thus you're asking a contradiction, one word to the next word in the same Mishnah. Maybe hakol shoichtin means what it means in the Mishnah Masechtas Erechin, hakol marichim v'nerachim, where it's only b'dieved. Thus, the Mishnah essentially is saying the same thing. Hakol sheichin b'dieved, u'shchitas and kshero is also going to be b'dieved. Amalei, so Rav Ashi told Rav Acha, let me explain to you where I was coming from when I asked the question. Anosh shchitas and kshero kashali. Midik tani shchitas and kshero d'yeved, being that the Mishnah says shchitas and kshero b'dieved, mechlal da hakol l'katchilahu. Therefore, I thought and assumed that hakol must mean l'katchila. D'i d'yeved, because if hakol shoichten means everybody, again, we don't know who everybody is, but everybody's allowed to shech b'dieved. And shchitas and kshero also means, clearly, that everyone's allowed to shech b'dieved. Tar t'i d'yeved, lamali. Why does the Mishnah have to tell me twice that everybody is allowed to shecht b'dieved? It's redundant. Why does the Mishnah have to chazer itself over? If hakol shechtin here means b'dieved, then essentially the Mishnah is saying everyone's allowed to shecht b'dieved. Oh, and everyone's allowed to shecht b'dieved. Hakol shechtin b'dieved, u'shchitas and ksher b'dieved. Therefore, Rav Ashi felt that it's poshet that
Hakol Sheichtim must mean the Katchila. The problem is that doesn't either work. Because if Hakol Sheichtim means the Katchila, then you have a stira. So either the Mishnah is being redundant or the Mishnah is contradicting itself. Rav Ashi felt the Mishnah is for sure not being redundant. So the Mishnah, therefore, is contradicting itself. So Rav Ashi asked as a kasha, almost rhetorically, clearly the Mishnah is saying that this hakoil could shech the katchila and shech b'dievitz, we have to sit down, roll our sleeves up, and figure out what exactly the Mishnah is talking about. To say it's redundant, that's not an option. Elamites, the Mishnah is teaching me something. So hakoil shech the katchila, that's one halacha. Ushchitas and sheira b'dievitz, that's another halacha. And that was Rav Ashi's question. That's the way he introduced Masechtas Chulin. And the Gemara is going to give 6 terutzim. We'll see the first one now. Omar Rabbi Barula, hachitani. The way you have to read the Mishnah is as follows. Hakol sheichten, when the Mishnah says hakol, again, it's coming to include someone of that I may have thought is not let a shech. It's coming to include afilu tameh b'chulin. It's talking about someone that's tameh, who's shechting chulin now. We'll learn the Masechtas Chulin. The halach is that even though he's tameh, you would have thought that maybe he's not let a shech chulin. Kamash Malan, that is a lad of Shech Tchulam. Freak the Gemara, Tamei B'chulam, Ayla Meimah. We just finished learning Masechtas Zvachim and Menachis. And in Zvachim and Menachis, Tamei is a very big deal. Comes together with Pigel and Noiser. Pigel, Noiser, and Tamei. Very, very chomer, depending on if Tumas Hagov, and it could be even a Chayvei Krisos. So that's, but in Masechtas Chulin, who cares if a person's Tamei? We're all Tamei. You're allowed to touch Chulin. If we had touched him today, we'd have a big problem. But there's no Isser to be metameh chulin, so why do I need a Mishnah to tell me Hakol Sheichtin? Even a tameh is a letter shech. We're dealing with shechitas chulin. What's the chiddush? Frek the Gemara says the Gemara. No, it's talking about bechulin shenasu al tayrus hakodesh. We're talking about somebody who took upon a huge chumrah. His chumrah is that when he eats chulin, he eats it al tayrus hakodesh. He treats it as if it's kodesh. The reason people did it was because they wanted to get used to, they wanted to train themselves with how to deal with kachim. So if you're a kohen, for example, and you eat kachim and you eat truma, even non-kohanim were allowed to eat kachim sometimes. Kachim kalim, right? The word non-kohanim, azar, sometimes was allowed to eat kachim. So people wanted to get themselves trained to make sure that when the time comes that they're going to eat truma and they're going to eat kachim, they're going to eat it properly. So they would eat chulin al tayrus hakodesh. That's where that phrase comes from. So they would treat it that way. And here's the chiddush. The chiddush is that if somebody takes upon himself to eat his chulin al tayrus hakodesh, he's actually obligated lahalacha to eat it al tayrus hakodesh. Not midiraisa, of course, but midirabanan. So if somebody makes a kabbalah of some sorts that he's from the frumah, he eats his chulin al tayrus hakodesh, it now is going to obligate him. Thus, it's a chiddush. So you have a yid who took upon himself that he's going to eat his chulin al tayrus hakodesh. Now, kachim, you can't be metama. You're not allowed to be metama kachim. That's biblical. That's asa midiraisa. So what if you have somebody that's tummy, who eats his chulin al tayrus hakodesh, he's from that group of people. Is he allowed to shech chulin now? Now, if you know for sure that he's going to be metame the chulin, the halacha would be that he's certainly not allowed to. Because being that he eats his chulin al tayrus hakodesh, he has to treat his chulin like kachem. You can't go be metame. But he's not necessarily going to be metame. He's just shechting it. Now, when you shecht an animal, you come in contact with the animal, but you can do it, what the Gemara is going to refer to soon as with a sakin arucha, with a long knife. I mean, there's ways to do it where you're not necessarily going to come in contact with it. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Hakol sheichtin, everyone's allowed to shecht. Even a tameh, who's shechting chulin, where he took upon himself to eat his chulin al tayrus hakodesh, we're not worried that he's going to be metamed, and therefore it's going to be okay. So chulin shenasu al tayrus hakodesh ki kodesh dom. Okay, so what does he do? Maybe sakin arucha v'shoichet ba. He brings a long knife. He shechts it kodesh le'iga bebaser. Ubin mikdashim, stating that the next line in the Mishnah, Ushchitas and Kshera, is referring to an animal that's not chulin. We're going backwards. It's an animal that's kachim. And there you're not allowed to shechta l'katchila. Why? Because we're worried that you may go ahead and touch the meat, stating that if someone who's tameh shechted kachim, V'amar, and he said, Bari li shalei nigati, that I can tell you for a fact, I know that I never touched the animal, shchitas ekshera, the shchita is going to be kosher, chutz micher shayit v'katan, and this is all with the exception of a cheresh shayit v'katan. I feel the b'chulin gredi, even with regular chulin, the eben namiloi, he's never allowed a shecht. Why not? Shema yishu, shema yidrisu, v'shema yachlidu. We'll see more about what That means, as we come to the, again, these are basic halachas of shechita that are not so easy to observe. We were worried that the cheresh shaitiv katan is not going to do this properly. So again, before we go weiter, so what did the Gemara just do? So the first teretz in the Gemara, Rabbi Barulo, who's just reconciling the first few words of the Mishnah, hakol shaychtim v'shechitas and kshera. Hakol shaychtim, we said, is l'katchilo. V'shechitas and kshera is b'di'evit. It's a stira. Whoever this hakol is, could he shech to katchila or could he only shech b'di'evit? The teretz is, it's the hakol is referring to a tameh. That's what we mean. We're talking about a tameh. Hakol shaychtim is l'rabbi's tameh. U'shechitas and kshera is referring to a tameh. Stating that, the reason it's not a stira is because the first part of the Mishnah is talking about a tameh who's shechting chulin. The second part of the Mishnah is talking about a tameh that's shechting kachim. Now, why? What should be the issue with a tameh shechting chulin? We're talking about this tameh took upon himself to treat his chulin al tairis hakodesh. And there's a halacha, therefore, that midrabanan, he's not allowed to be metama his chulin. You would have thought that maybe he's not allowed to shecht it either. The teretz is, if he takes a long knife, as long as he works it out in a way where we mitigate the chances of him actually being metama the basar, it's not an issue. But that's only true where it's real chulin. It's just al tairis hakodesh. But if you have real kachim, we're not allowed to be metama b'day raisa, there, katchilo, you can't do it with a sack in arucha. B'di'evit, if you did it, and he says, Bari Li, I'm telling you, I didn't touch it, it's going to be okay. So again, how do you read the Mishnah? Hakol shaychtin, even a tamei, who wants to shecht chulin, where he keeps this chulin al tairis hakodesh, l'katchilo, he could shecht it as long as he uses a sack in arucha. V'shchitas an kshera, if the same tamei wants to shecht, not chulin, but kachim, there l'katchilo, he's not allowed to. But b'di'evit, shchitas an kshera, if he says, Bari Li, shaloi negati, it's going to be okay. The Mishnah continues, chutz m'chere shayit v'gata, as opposed to chere shayit v'gata. They're excluded from the whole halacha of shechita. Why? Shemi kalkula shechitasam, because of these halachas that they're going to mess up with. Shemi yishu, shemi yidrisu, shemi yachlivu. But there was one more line in the Mishnah. V'kulan sheshachtu, v'acherim royen oisan, shechitasam kshera. So who's that v'kulan going back on? So Pasha, when you read the Mishnah, if you were learning Mishnayis, you'd assume for sure it's going back on the cheresh shaitiv katan. Right? Everyone's allowed a shecht, with the exception of a cheresh shaitiv katan. V'kulan, all those that are not allowed to shecht, if they were achir raya naisan, shechitas and kshtera. Stating that, zokti gemara. That last line, v'kulon sheshachtu ahai. What's it going back on? Ile macher shayt v'katon. Is it going back on the cher shayt v'katon? That the mission said it's not allowed to shecht. Stating that, if others are watching them shecht, what we know as a gadol oymed al gabav, that would be okay. But the gemara says, Allah ka'i. Being that the Mishnah just finished talking about the cher shayt v'katon, then just from a grammar perspective, the im shachtu mi bayle. What the Mishnah should have said was the im shachtu. Hakol shaychtin u'shchitas and kshera chutz mi'cher shayt v'katan. Then the Mishnah says, v'kulon, v'kulon sounds like it's a new thing. Like, period, v'kulon, that's the next sentence. If the v'kulon is going back on the last thing we said, cher shayt v'katan, then the Mishnah doesn't have to start again, v'kulon. It could be one long sentence, v'im shachtu. So from the fact that the Mishnah says v'kulon sheshachtu, it sounds like it's actually not going back on. Ella says the Gemara, maybe it's going back on tamei b'chulin. That someone who's tamei, who's shechting chulin, that's being observed al tairis hakodesh, the halacha is, if acher marayin oisa, it's going to be kasha. What's the kasha? Ha'amir l'katchila nami shachet. What do you mean? We just said that's the first line of the Mishnah. Hakol shaychtin is referring to a tamei who shechting chulin al tairis hakodesh, and we said that he's even allowed to shech l'katchila. The Ella says the Gemara at tamei v'mukdashim. The only other option that v'kulin could be going on is someone is tamei and he's shechting, not chulin, but rather he's shechting kachim. We said the katchilo, he's not allowed to shecht. It's only b'di'evit that he's allowed to shecht. Zok to Mishnah, if others were watching him, it's going to be okay. But afraid to Gemara, why do you need others to watch him? B'bari lisagi. Didn't we say that b'di'evit eshchita is always kasher? And b'di'evit eshchita always kasher sounds like even if nobody's watching him. As long as he says bari li, I'm telling you for a fact that I never touched it, it sounds like that in and of itself would already be enough. Zok to Gemara, the lesi kamon, the neshayle. Hacha b'maya skinon, we're talking about where he's simply not here. We don't have any way of asking him. In other words, what the Mishnah is saying is that there's two ways where a tameh that shechts kachim, the shechita could be kosher. Either it could be kosher if he says barili, u'shechitas ekshera b'di'evet, even through his own eid echa nemen b'yisurin, we can accept the fact that the shechita was a good shechita. Or if he's not around, and we have no idea if the tameh, we know he was tameh when he shechted it. So we know Reuven was tameh, he shechted a carbon oil. He's not around to ask him whether he touched it or not. If acher marayin oisam, then the halacha is going to be shechitas and kshera. So it's interesting, after a sort of long-winded technical analysis of the first Mishnah, so we started a new masechta. Masechta Schulin. And we mentioned that Masechta Schulin is in stark contrast to Masechta Zvachim and Menachas, whereas Zvachim and Menachas deal with Kachim. Chulin, as its name implies, deals with Chulin. Saying that, half the Mishnah is talking about Kachim. Again, how do you read the Mishnah? Hakol Shaychtin, Atame is a Ladish. Everyone's a Ladish. But Hakol is a Rabbis. Even Atame, who keeps Chulin al Tairus HaKodesh, as long as he uses a long knife, he's allowed to go with Katchil and Shecht. We're not concerned that he may touch it. Stating that, Ushchitasim Shera. That same Tameh is not allowed to Shecht Kachim, look Katchila. Because being that to be Metame, real Kachim is an Isidai Raisa, even with a long knife, we're afraid you may come in contact with it. Chutz mi Chereshayit v'katan, Shemi Kalkula Shchitasim. Chereshayit v'katan, no, never allowed to Shecht. V'kulon Sheshachtu, going back to the Tameh who Shechted Kachim, and we know he was Tameh, we know it was Kachim, he's not around. We can't ask him if he touched it or not. There's a concern. Maybe he touched the Basar. If if there are people that could say Eidos, they could say, no, we watched him, we saw he never touched the meat. Shchitasim Shei, the bottom line is, it's a Mishnah, Mesech Teschulin, but the Mishnah is very much discussing laws of Kachim. And based on that, with that segue, Freik the Gemara Akasha, Hai Tameh B'mukdashim, Mehacha Nafka, Mehasam Nafka. Why do I have to stop Masech Teschulin? Where half the Mishnah is talking about the laws of Kachim. We already know Hilchas Kachim, right? We learned all the halachas already. The Mishnah says, "Kol apsul in sheshachtu shchitasan ksheira." Any puzzle, meaning all the people that couldn't do Kabbalah, Hilacha, and Zrika, they can all do shchita. Shashchita ksheira bezarim benashim ubaavadim ubetmeim. That's the part that we need, in quotations, v'afilu b'kachi kadashim, u'bevach layut meyim noigim b'basar. So essentially, the Mishnah told us everything we need to do. That it's okay, b'di'eved, if a tamei shecht, not like a tchilo, kol ha'psulin sheshachtu, shchitasim ksheir, it's b'di'eved, okay, but at the very least, b'di'eved, it's something that's fine, you just have to make sure that they never touch the basar. So why do I need this Mishnah here, Masechta Teschulin? Says the Gemara, hacha ikar, really, the primary source for the fact that a tamei is not supposed to shecht kachim l'katchila. B'di'eved, it's okay as long as one of two things. Either he says, buriedly that I didn't touch it, or acherim royin oisai. This is the primary source. Hasam over there, mesech tezvachim. I did the tanish arpsulim. The Mishnah over there mentioned all the other people that are not allowed to do avoda that are allowed to shecht. Tananavi, tami b'mukdashim. Said, but derech agav. There, the Mishnah was discussing all the psulim as it relates to kachim. So the Mishnah threw in tmeim as well. V'ibay yisayim, where you could say it in the reverse. Hasam, ikar. Really, that's the primary source for telling me the halachas of a Tamei shechting kachin to be kachin koi, because that's Masech Tezvachim. Hach, over here, really, we're learning Masech Tezchulin. But being that Masech Tezchulin opens up with the laws of Shechita, and with Mishnah wanted Biramiza to tell me halacha of a Tamei shechting chulin, where he observes it al Tairis HaKadosh, I did Tanei Tamei b'chulin, Tanei Nami Tamei b'mukdashim. Exhale. So, before we go right there, just one ha'ara. That is, the Mishnah began Hakol Sheichtim. And clearly, you see from the Gemara that Hakol is the rabbis. I mean, the simple translation of the words Hakol Sheichtim means that everybody's a lad of shech. Everybody with the exception of Acher Sheicht V'Katan. And within the word Hakol, there's a remez to a chiddush that you would not have otherwise thought. And that is that even though a Tameh is not allowed to shecht kachim l'katchila, but the Yevedi could, but l'katchila is not allowed to shecht kachim, stating that Chulin, even if it was Altairus HaKodesh, Hakol is coming to include. But the bottom line is, anyone or anything other than Acher Sheicht V'Katan is included in the words Hakol Sheicht. Stating that, Zok Taisus, the first Taisus in the Masechta, Kasev Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, says, I found in Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, the Noshim Lo Yishchetu, that women should not shecht, Mipnei Shedaitan Kalis. And the reason is, because Noshim Adaitan Kalis, and as a result, we're afraid that when they shech, they may not get it right. And it's for that reason a woman is not supposed to shech. But Zok Tosis Ve'im Nira. I don't think it's true. Da'afila b'muktashim shech tesakatchila. Because a woman, not only is she allowed to shech kulin, a woman's even allowed to shech kachim. And Tosis brings a raya from Gemara Masech Tezvachim in the beginning of the third parak, Ve'im kamakoymai. But the bottom line is, Tosis says that not only do I disagree with the Hilchas Eretz Yisrael as it relates to shechitas kulin, but even kachim a woman is allowed to shech. So Tosis brings this Hilchas Eretz Yisrael that said the Noshim lo yishchetu. So Tosis ve'einira, it's pasha to me, says Tosis, that if a woman wants to shecht, and the truth is, It's very mashma that way in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says akol shaychtin chutz micher shaych v'katan. It sounds like only a cher shaych v'katan are excluded from the laws of shechita, but anybody else would be allowed to. So what exactly is this Hilchas Eretz Yisrael? So if you take a look at the Mordechai, right here in Masechtas Chulin, so the Mordechai says, when he introduces Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, he says it came from a Yid whose name was Eldad, who came from the Aseres HaShvatim. And who the Mordechai is referring to is someone known as Eldad Hadoni. The Rishonim referred to a person, Eldad Hadoni. He lived during the 9th century. He claimed that he was from Shevet Dan. He shows up one day into the Haimish Kreisen, and he had a very, very fantastic story to tell. He said that he lives together with Shevet Dan, Asher, Gad, and Naphtali. They live in a village somewhere. He said that on the other side of the Sambatian River, he said that they were exiled, the times of Melachim Aleph. They'd been living with a Messiah for hundreds and hundreds of years. And he spoke to them about how they still give Dalad Mises Bezdin. He says they have Messiahs going back to Yeshua Ben Nun. He's their Rebbe. Their Rebbe is Yeshua Ben Nun. Incidentally, some say that Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, it was a mistake. It was a typo. What it said was Hilchas Aleph Yud, which people assumed meant Eretz Yisrael. Really what it meant was Hilchas Amar Yeshua. Because their Messiah, everything comes back to Yeshua Ben Nun. But regardless, he told them a story about how he was captured by cannibals and he came along with a friend of his from Shevet Asher. He said his friend was more appealing to the cannibals, so they ate him. They somehow let him escape. Fascinating. Regardless, but he came with halachas. And the halachas that he came with are what we know today as Hilchas Eretz Yisrael. And in his Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, he has a lot of halachas related to shechita. And one of the halachas that he brings there is that Noshim lo yishchetu, mevnei shadaitin kals. And that's the Hilchas Eretz Yisrael that Tosfos is referring to. So Tosfos says that even though there's this Hilchas Eretz Yisrael that Eldad Hadoni brought him, I want you to know that it's not the halacha, the einira, because what's mashma to me from Talmud Bavli is that a woman is allowed to shecht. The Mishnah is mashma that way. Hakol shoyt and chutz micher shoyt v'katin. And by the way, says Tosfos, even as it relates to shechitas kachim. Now it's interesting, Tosfos, in the beginning of the third parak of Masechta Zvachim, Zvachim Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, brings this Hilchas Eretz Yisrael as well. And there Tosfos is a little bit more sharp. Says Tosfos, v'nira shehim chumrais ba'alma. All the things that you're going to find in Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, says Tosfos, I believe is only a chumra. Shehoya oimer oisai hachacham midaitoi. This chacham said it midaitoi. Shekosav, he was the one who wrote Hilchas Eretz Yisrael. So Tosfos says, it's chumrais, meaning he treats it with at least some level of credibility. He calls it at the very least a chumrah, but then he says he wrote it midaitai, and he personally, even though he claimed that he had a Messiah from Yeshua Ben Nun, he's personally the one that authored Hilchas Eretz Yisrael. So even though the Rishonim quote this Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, Taisus himself quotes it, the Mordechai, the Rosh, all the Rishonim quote it. But Taisus over here seemed to question the credibility of Hilchas Eretz Yisrael. It's a very subtle reference in Masechtas Zvachim, Daf Lamed Aleph on the base. It's interesting, Ibn Ezra, in Parashat Shmos, quotes Eldad Hadoni as well. And the context over there is Moshe Rabbeinu meets Tzipora, Yisra's wife. They get married. Says the Ibn Ezra, Vasha kasuv bedivrei hayomim de Moshe al tamen. So apparently there were stories told about Moshe Rabbeinu in a sefer called Divrei Hayomim de Moshe. Says the Ibn Ezra, don't trust it. Uklal loy melacha. Says I'm going to give you a good rule. Kol sefer shaloi kasvu neviim oy chachamenu mepi hakabbalah. Any sefer that was not written by neviim or by Chazal ain't lismoichalav. Don't rely on it. Because often you're going to find that there are things in these svarim that don't even make sense. So just from a pure sensible standpoint, he says, I wouldn't rely on it. And then Ibn Ezra says, I'm going to give you a few examples. Sefer Zerubbabel. V'gam Sefer Eldad Hadoni. So the Ibn Ezra gave two examples. Now he was talking about this Sefer Divrei Hayomim de Moshe. But he says, I'll give you two additional examples of svarim that were not written by Neviim or Chachamenu Mipia Kabbalah. They have things that are Makrish and Hadassah Nechayna. And what were his two examples? One example was Sefer Zerubbabel. The other Sefer was the Sefer of Eldad Hadoni. So again, what is a very subtle reference as it relates to Tosfos and Zvachim Daf Lamed Aleph on the days where he seems to question the credibility of Eldad Hadoni, that Ibn Ezra came a little bit more sharp, that Ibn Ezra seemed to say that he had a major issue with it. Now, it's, I found a fascinating tshuva in the Har Tzvi. The Har Tzvi, of course, was Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. And right at the beginning of Hilchas Shechita, it's Yerideya Simin Beis. So he brings that another one of the halachas that are mentioned in the Hilchas Eretz Yisrael is Hashoychet B'loi Bracha Shechita Sei Psu. The Rosh and the Mordechai right here in the beginning of Masechet Chulin quote this. So again, it's a whole list of halachas. The one that's most famous is that Hilchas Eretz Yisrael said that a woman shouldn't shech. But really, there's many other halachas there as well. And again, one of them is that if somebody shechts without a bracha, shchitasek shera. The Neid of Yehuda in a tshuva, it's Yerideya Kama Simin Beis. So again, it's in Har Tzvi Simin Beis, and this is in Yerideya Simin Beis. He brings this Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, and he brings that. A shoyel asked him a gevaldige kasha. He asked him that how is it possible that if somebody shechts without a bracha, his shchita is going to be a shchita psula. The Mishnah said, "Hakol shoychtim chutz micheres shoyte v'katan," stating that if other people are watching them, the halacha is the shchita is going to be a good shchita. And even though we just learned that imacherim roya noisim is not going back on cheres shoyte v'katan, we said it's going back on a tummy that shechted kachim. But at the same time, la halacha is going back on cheres shoyte v'katan as well, as we're going to learn in the Gemaras together. I mean, the Gemara just felt that the diuk of vikulon must suggest that it's also going back on something previous in the Mishnah. But the bottom line is, the halacha is that a cheres shoyte v'katan, it's halacha in Shulchan Aruch, even though they are not allowed to shech, but if there's a gadol oymed al gav, if somebody's watching them, they are allowed to shech. Now, what's a cheres? Anytime you find cheres shoyte v'katan in the Torah, what does it mean? What it means, a cheres is a person that can't hear, but he also can't talk. A cheres ha-shoymeya, the Ene Medaber or Medaber Ene Shemeh is not the Cheresh of the Torah. The Cheresh that's Potem in our mitzvahs, the Cheresh who can't transact, that's a Cheresh Ene Shemeh of Ene Medaber. That means this Cheresh can't talk. If he can't talk, he can't make a bracha. So the Shoyal asked the night of Yehuda, Akash on this Hilchas Eretz Yisrael. Hilchas Eretz Yisrael says that if somebody shechts and he doesn't make a bracha, Shechita Sei Psula, if that's the case, how could a Cheresh do shchita kishagadolem al gabav? It's very nice. He's a gadolem al gabav. So that person's going to watch. He's going to make sure that he's not going to make any mistake. He's going to get the shchita right. But at the end of the day, he has to make a bracha. And if he shechts without making a bracha, his shchita is going to be possible. That was the kasha that the Shoyal asked the Neid of Yehuda. Truth is, Neid Yehuda himself said that really you could ask another kasha. The Gemara says later in Masechtas Chulin that if somebody throws a knife, throws it long range, and it shechts the animal perfectly, people watch. Perfect money. So what's the halacha? It's a good shechita. Even though it was not shleib kavan, it doesn't matter. It's not going to be that person. Did he make a bracha? No, the Gemara is discussing he was a masase. He just threw a knife and boom, he happened to have gotten it right. Still, the halacha is it's a good shechita. I didn't make a bracha. Hilchas Eretz Yisrael said that a shoycha b'lay bracha, the shechita is not going to be a good shechita. Says the Neid of Yehuda, a gevaldige teretz. He says, what's the pshat in the Hilchas Eretz Yisrael? So you make a... you do shechita, there's no bracha. When do you find that a bracha should be ma'akev? A bracha is never ma'akev. Shechita from all things without a bracha, we're not even sure shechita is a mitzvah. It's the Rambam shechita that shechita is a mitzvah. We're not even sure why you make a bracha. But that the bracha should be ma'akev when it comes to the shechita, says in the Yehuda, a dover nifla. Because one of the primary sugyas in the beginning of Masechtas Chulin we're going to get to in the next few days is the halacha that someone that's a mummer for treifas and avelas and shechita, he's not allowed to be a sheichet. If somebody gets caught, chalila, selling non-kosher meat, he's disqualified from ever being a sheichet. Any level of negligence that a person has in hilchas shechita can immediately disqualify him. So then Yehuda says that if somebody shechts and he doesn't make a bracha, he becomes a mumel shechita. It means he doesn't take the laws of shechita seriously enough. He's going and he's shechting on a bracha. It's for that reason it's good. No, Allah, you need the bracha. It's not a brisker din, but I've hubbin the bracha that the shechita should be shechita. Why should the bracha be ma'akev in the shechita? If it's not ma'akev in your lulav and in your chanukah lech and in your tefillin and in your tzitzis, then why should it be ma'akev in shechita? Says the Neid of Yehuda, it's based on the laws of mummer that permeate hilchas shechita. That any person who shows some callousness, some negligence as it relates to shechita, or he's disqualified from being a shechit. So if somebody goes to shech and a machnish da bracha, how do you trust this guy? Right? So he doesn't kiss the mezuzah. People sometimes would get nervous with sheikhtim and things. So he's not even making the bracha. On the shechita itself. But a cheresh, that's in a shemeh, in a bedaber. It's true he can't make a shechita, but you can tell me he's a mummer. He'd love to make a bracha. Unfortunately, he can't talk. He doesn't have the ability to make a bracha. Somebody threw a knife, and it just so happened that he got a perfect shechita. So being that he didn't have kavana to do the shechita, he's not a mummer by virtue of the fact that he didn't make a bracha. The reason he didn't make a bracha, because in his mind, he wasn't doing a shechita. So Zakti Neid of Yehuda, the Hilchas Eretz Yisrael is right, that if somebody shechts without a bracha, shechita sei psula, it's because not that you need the bracha to have the shechita. But it's because if you do the shechita without the bracha, you now became a mummer. Being that a cheresh who can't talk can't be viewed as a mummer by not making the bracha, it's for that reason the cheresh, she'ena she'meya ve'ena medaber, as long as it's a gadol oymed al gabav, his shechita is going to be a kosher shechita. Stating that, Rav Hirsch Pesach, in his Har Tzvi, says something unbelievable. He says like this, we know that birchas ha-mitzvahs are not ma'akev. Right? So if somebody does a mitzvah and he doesn't make a bracha, halach is he still yaitz in the mitzvah. He was mevatel the birchas ha-mitzvahs, but the mitzvah itself, he was yaitz. Not just that, birchas ha-mitzvah is only midrabban. It's not even a chiyav deiraisa. So the fact that we make a bracha before we do a mitzvah, that's only a mitzvah derabbanan. It's not even a deiraisa. The deiraisa is the mitzvah itself. Midrabbanan is an inyan to make a bracha. Stating that, he brings a Yerushalmi in Sechtes Brachas, Perik Vav Halacha Aleph. That's quote. How do you know that before you do a mitzvah, you have to make a bracha? Rav Tanchuma, Rav Yuda Bar Kahana, B'shem Rav Eliezer. The pasuk says, "Ve'etna lecha es luchais ha'even va'atayra va'mitzvah." Hikish toira la'mitzvah. The pasuk equated toira to mitzvah. Ma toira to no bracha. Just like before you learn toira, you have to make a bracha. Birchas ha'teira. Af mitzvah is tunas bracha. So too, before you do a mitzvah, you have to make a bracha as well. So again, this is Yerushalmi. Minayin shekol ha'mitzvah is tunas bracha. How do you know you have to make a birchas ha'mitzvah? So before you take your dalet minim, you make a bracha on the tilas lo. How do you know that? Says the Yerushalmi, it's learned out from a hekesh. Ve'etna l'cha es lucha isa evan va'teira va'mitzvah. Makish teira la'mitzvah. Just like Torah, there's a mitzvah to make Birchas HaTorah, so too, before you do any mitzvah, there's a mitzvah to make a bracha. Says Rav Hirsch Pesach, it's poshut to me that this Yerushalmi is saying that Birchas HaMitzvah is not a mitzvah de Rabbanon. It's a mitzvah de Raisa. Two things. Number one, we're comparing it to Birchas HaTorah. Birchas HaTorah is a mitzvah de Raisa. So Birchas HaTorah is a mitzvah, that's a mefurish gemara mesachtes brachas. So Birchas HaTorah is a mitzvah de Tavchof, Tavchofal. So Birchas HaTorah is a mitzvah de Raisa, the Birchas HaMitzvah would seem to be a de Raisa as well. And not just that, what's the source? The source is a hekesh. Hekesh is a deraisa. That's Yud Gimel Midos Shehatayra Nidreshes Behem. So Zok Repesh Pesach, it seems clear from this Yerushalmi that the Yerushalmi holds that Birchas HaMitzvahs is a mitzvah deraisa. And Repesh Pesach goes and he drags this Yisoy through many different Yerushalmis with phenomenal bekis, where he says it's clear as the Yeshitas of Yerushalmi. So even though we take for granted that Birchas HaMitzvahs is only a mitzvah derabbanan, with the exception of Birchas HaTayra, but says the Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank that that was only the Shitas Abavli. But the Shitas Yerushalmi is that Birchas HaMitzvahs is a mitzvah de Raisa learned from a Hekesh. We compare it to Birchas HaTorah. He goes weiter and he says that if that's the case, Birchas HaMitzvahs, according to the Yerushalmi, is going to be ma'akiv in the mitzvah as well. Meaning it's true that we know a Birchas HaMitzvahs is not ma'akiv. But that's only because we paskin like the Bavli that Birchas HaMitzvahs is only midrabanan. If it's midrabanan, it's not part and parcel of the mitzvah. There's the mitzvah, there's the bracha. The mitzvah is deraisa, the bracha is only midrabanan. But in the Yerushalmi's world, where the Birchas HaMitzvah was also deraisa, the lumdis, again, no time for it this morning, but the lumdis is that the bracha is part of the mitzvah. And it's actually ma'akiv in the mitzvah. So it emerges then it's two chiddushim in the Shitas of Yerushalmi. One chiddush is Birchas HaMitzvahs is the Eraisa, not the Rabbanan. The second chiddush is that Birchas HaMitzvahs is ma'akev in the mitzvah. It's not some extra credit thing that you can do. No, it's actually something that's going to be ma'akev. If that's the case, says Reb Tzvi Pesach, a dover nifl. He says, you have over here a Hilchis Eretz Yisrael, where the Hilchis Eretz Yisrael says that if somebody shechts and he doesn't make a bracha, shechitasei psula. And everybody screams, this gemara is it? It can't be that way. You have a cheresh enesh meyam ben medaber, where if there's a gadol emad agaba, the shechita is going to be kasha. You have the noy to be Yehuda's kasha. If somebody takes a knife and he throws it across the room and it just so happens an animal walked by, boom, he got reiv simanim, the halach is that it's going to be okay. What do you mean? What happened to the bracha? He clearly didn't make a bracha. He said, if he didn't make a bracha, how could it be okay? Zok Rav Hirsch Pesach, that's all in the shechitas Bavli. Where the Bavli holds that Birchas HaMitzvahs is only midrabbanan. Birchas HaMitzvahs is not ma'akiv. But who did the Rishonim quote? Who Tosfos quote in Chulin Daf Beis? And in Tzvachim Lamed Aleph on the Beis? And who did the Rosh and the Mordechai quote in the beginning of the Masech? Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. Zok Rav Hirsch Pesach. Here's the punchline. It was all for this one. Who's Hilchos Eretz Yisrael? It's Yerushalmi. Hilchas Eretz Yisrael doesn't sound like the Yerushalmi. So he says it's the Yerushalmi. Oh, if it's the Yerushalmi, it's the Yerushalmi l'shitosoi. That holds that Birchas HaMitzvah is the Reis, it's Ma'akiv in the mitzvah. You're right, it would be Ma'akiv Tefillin. It would be Ma'akiv all other mitzvahs. What was the Kasha? You never find that Birchas HaMitzvah should be Ma'akiv. So why should the Shechita? It's true you don't find it. That's because we live in the world of Talmud Bavli. But if you lived in the world of Talmud Yerushalmi, you would find it. It's Yerushalmi and Brachas, Perek Vav Alach Aleph, and all the other Yerushalmis that the Har Tzvi quotes in this tshuva. But the bottom line is, says the Har Tzvi, this Hilchas Eretz Yisrael is Talmud Yerushalmi. And it's the Yerushalmi of the Shittai. He brings Raya's Rav Sadia Goyen used to refer to Talmud Yerushalmi as the Talmud of the Eretz Yisrael. He has other Maamar Kavos as well. Bottom line is, hear what's going on? Rav Tzvi Pesach referred to Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, he believed that it was Talmud Yerushalmi. So this Hilchas Eretz Yisrael that came from Eldad Adoni, this Mesorah to Yeshua Benun, it was Talmud Yerushalmi. Now I'm going to tell you something interesting. If you open up a Yerushalmi, a Masechta Scholin, open up a Yerushalmi, a Masechta Scholin, right in the beginning, you're going to have the Hilchas Eretz Yisrael. Right, it's a riot to Rav Tzvi Pesach say. Right, it's unbelievable. Here's the problem. Is the Yerushalmi on Seder Kachim the Yerushalmi? So, Ki Yodua, one of the most controversial debates in the history of Klal Yisrael was that about 100 years ago, literally, this was in the 20th century, about 100 years ago, somebody appeared and he claimed that he found a Talmud Yerushalmi on Seder Kachim and he brought it to the Gedolei Olam. And many of the Gedolim thought it was real and many of the Gedolim thought that it was not real. As a matter of fact, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure that when he came to Dvinsk, he showed it to Rameir Simcha, Dar Sameach, hashtag classic Meshach Chachma, and he showed it to the Ragach of a Goyen, and one thought it was real, and the other one thought it wasn't real. So it was pretty good if he was able to fool one of them. But regardless, because it was either real or not real, regardless, it's in the Talmud Yerushalmi on Masechta Schulin. The problem is, the Talmud Yerushalmi Masechta Schulin is not considered Lamaisa Nimnu Vagarmu, that it's not real. It's been proven to be a fraud. Either way, just a little bit of the rest of the story as it relates to Eldad Hadani, a little bit of the rest of the story as it relates to Hilchas Eretz Yisrael. The most famous halacha of Hilchas Eretz Yisrael is the halacha that Tosfos quotes right at the beginning of Masechta Chulin. This is the first Tosfos in Chulin, that Noshim should not shecht. Tosfos argues with the Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, but there's many other interesting halachas that are there, such as if somebody shechts without making a bracha, shechitasei psula, there's a whole tshuva from the Rebbe of Yehuda, how could the shechita be possible? Why is that worse than a cheresh in a shemeh of in a medaber? That Yehuda says that it's because the Hilchas Eretz Yisrael believed that somebody that shechts without a bracha becomes a mummer in Hilchas Shechita. And it's so delicate. Who's allowed to shecht? Who's not allowed to shecht? If you don't make a bracha on Shechita, you're done. That's it. We're not going to trust your Shechita anymore. Rav Hirsch Pesach wanted to say a phenomenal lamdus that the Hilchas Eretz Yisrael was really the Talmud Yerushalmi. And this is the Yerushalmi l'shitase that holds that Berchas HaMitzvah is Adai Raisa, which means that Berchas HaMitzvah is a Ma'akev in the Kiyum HaMitzvah, thus, l'shitasa, if somebody was shech without a bracha, the shechita would be possible.